Yeah, come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Isn't it awesome to be a part of something that's so big and so massive like the kingdom of God? You know, we get so caught up sometimes with where we're at here and now in this moment. Come on, we're a part of a tapestry of faith and testimonies that God's been writing for thousands of years, and it's big, it's massive. The kingdom of God is alive and well. Come on, there's a lot of naysayers about the church, but I believe that the church is the hope of the world, and I believe Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And I believe that he's alive and well, and because he's alive and well, come on, we're alive and well, and we're called to shine the light of Jesus. You know, I appreciate what Elisa was saying. And by the way, good morning. If you got your Bible with you, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Come on, I'm a little pumped up this morning. I appreciate what Elisa was saying. I had the same thought at first when I realized that Easter Sunday, which I like to call Resurrection Sunday, is on April Fool's Day. And she was sharing that right then. And then the Holy Spirit just quickened me and said, it's actually pretty cool if you think about it this way. The joke's on the devil. You thought you killed him, baby. But he's alive. April Fools, the trick is on you, Satan. So come on, let's just embrace and see it that way. And thank you for beginning to just pray and anticipate in faith what God's going to do in your life and in the lives of others in our community. And just really want to reiterate and underline that. Take those cards. Use that as a tool to invite people to come and experience Jesus in this place. And really, let's begin to pray and trust God for people to be saved and healed and set free and strengthened and beginning to discover God's plan and purpose for their life and beginning to step out and step into and moving forward in that. Come on, that's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. That's what Easter's about. So thank you for that. And, you know, I also just want to thank you. But while I'm doing this, I intend to reference in a few ways the legacy vision book for the renovation campaign that our church is entering into. And I'd like for every one of you that desires to have one to be able to have one this morning to reference. They were giving them out this morning, but if you did not receive one of these books or you'd like one, or even if you just maybe you just got one and you'd like to both have one, just put your hand in the air, just hold it up there and allow these gentlemen to just bring one to you. And you know, while they're passing those out, I just want to say thank you on behalf of my family, Amity and I and our kids. Thank you for your prayers as we were out last weekend welcoming little Evan Thomas into the world. And I'm just so thankful and grateful for that. And thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the care and the concern. Thank you for the just all the well wishes. And we felt your prayers. And can I just tell you, we needed your prayers in this season. And how many of you believe that life is precious and sacred, and every child, every person that God creates is born with a purpose and a destiny, created in the image of God? Every child is special and unique and called for a purpose. Amen? But there's something really special about Evan, because the enemy really had just resisted for a number of years. And how many know that when the Lord does something that has power and promise associated with it, you better believe that the enemy is going to come and try to resist. He's going to try to oppose. He's going to try to chase you off of the promises of God. And there's some of the things that happen in your life, you know, God just seems to deliver it to you quickly. And there's other times where you have to contend. The Bible says resist the enemy. Submit to God. Resist the enemy. And he will flee. And it implies an ongoing type of a process of resisting the enemy when he tries to come in and lie or deceive or steal a promise of God that God has spoken over you. And so regarding, you know, welcoming Evan into the world, I just quickly just thank you for your prayers, and quickly just revisit, even starting with our third pregnancy, our girl Ava. When we went in for one of her early doctor's visits with the OBGYN, we lived in Deep South Texas, and when we went in for that appointment, everything went well. And at the end of that appointment, the doctor said, and I'm going to go ahead and recommend that we just sterilize you, Mrs. Humphreys, as part of this C-section that we're having. And he said, you've had three kids. That's enough. And he said, you need to be grateful to the Lord for those three, and we're just going to go ahead and take care of that for you while we're in there this time. And I just thought, no, you didn't. Everything was fine. She was healthy. We had three kids. I mean, it was like, what in the world is happening? I see your lips moving, doctor, but I hear a demonic spirit speaking through you. And he said, we're going to go ahead and just sterilize you through this. And he kind of offered it out there, just looking for us to respond to it. And we said that. And he said, no, we've got a dream in our heart to have a fourth child. And he said, well, are you sure? Because God's blessed you with three. Three's enough. And we said, no, sir, that's not the advice that we're going to take. And we made a decision right then and there. We'd never darken the door of that office again. And as we walked out of that office, you know how they take you in one way and kind of out the other way around the reception area in a doctor's office? And as we walked out the other way, I don't know what your politics are, but I believe that God is a life-giving spirit. And as we walked out on the wall of that doctor's office were accolades from Planned Parenthood and from politicians, numerous politicians thanking him for supporting the work and activity of Planned Parenthood. And I thought that doctor was not just giving us medical advice. There was an agenda behind what he was saying. And even early on, there was just a scheme of opposition, is my point, about bringing Evan into the world. And it ended up resulting in that third pregnancy ended up resulting in a long process. Of a painful process and a difficult journey that we had to navigate, where numerous doctors were recommending a hysterectomy for my wife Amity and saying, you'll never have another child again because of this thing that happened during that third C-section. And in the middle of that process, where we were weeping and crying before the Lord and Amity was enduring the pain, it was real pain, physical pain, the Lord brought a dream. And in that dream, my wife saw Evan Thomas, and she was holding him in her arms. And she shared the next morning, she said, God gave me a dream, and we're not to have this hysterectomy. We're to persevere in faith and believe God, he's going to bring to pass this dream. And so we persevered in faith, and it took steps of action, and I'll touch on that this morning. We got a promise from God, an anchor from God, a dream from God, a word from God, and it began to dictate the steps of our activity. It began to cause us to make decisions one way instead of another way. And it was a long, painful, difficult process, but now we've welcomed Evan Thomas into the world to the glory of God. And God is faithful. Come on, God is faithful. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. There's some promises. There's some things that God wants to do in your life. There's some places where God's spoken life over you. There's some things that God wants to deliver to you. And sometimes things happen quickly, but other times you've got to contend. Other times you've got to go back and you've got to get in the presence of God and you've got to find out what God's word has to say about it, because there will be all kinds of recommendations from well-intending people. There will be all kinds of opportunities and different paths that you can go. And I'm just telling you that I'm telling you that I'm telling you, the promises of God, the dream of God for your life, John Rainey, the dream of God for your marriage, Jonna Fernanda, the dream of God for your family is worth contending for. Hang on to it. Fight over it. Battle it in the spirit. Pray into it. Don't allow the enemy to come and push you off of something that God's spoken over your life. So thank you for your prayers. We coveted them. We were grateful for them. And just so thankful, so grateful to the Lord for what he's done. And you know, I hold little Evan in my arms, and it's the fourth baby we've been blessed to have. Thank you, Lord. But I'm awestruck in a new and fresh way by the love that I have for this little baby who's done nothing for me. And in fact, I hope you can see what my heart in this and what I'm about to share. He's done nothing for us. He's cost us financially. He's cost us physical pain. He's cost us sleep, my wife more than me. He's done nothing for us in the natural. And yet I love him with an unending love there's nothing he could do that would separate him from the love that I have for him. No sin, no behavior, there's nothing he could do. And can I tell you this morning, that's the way that the Father loves you. You might have done nothing for God yet. All you've done is cause him hurt and pain and frustration, and you've kept him up at night. I don't know if I think God sleeps through the storm. But you get the point. And he still loves you with an unending love, a love that not only is unending, but it's pursuing you. Come on, it's knocking this morning on the door of your heart. And I love Baptism Sunday, and I'm so grateful that those two amazing young people answered the call of God and just reopened their heart to the love of God that's chasing them down. Amen? Come on, God loves you so much. He's calling out to you. He's pursuing you. Well, would you allow me to pray, and then I want to get into the word this morning. And just let's just open our hearts to what the Lord would want to speak. Hopefully he's already speaking you and encouraging you or challenging you and reminding you of some things. And Lord, we thank you for doing that very thing in this place this morning. We're here to do so much more than just sing some songs and have a message. We're here to encounter and experience and pursue the love of the Father, the love of Jesus Christ. We're here this morning with open hearts. We're here this morning with minds alert, God, to hear from your voice. Thank you, Lord, for using my voice this morning and using my words, Lord. I submit them to you for your purposes and your glory today, God. May it be used to bring about your heart, Lord, to reveal and remind these precious people of your heart, your future, your plans, your hope that you have for every one of us. For those of us that are here this morning, God, and we're hurting or we're wounded or we're discouraged or we're weak in any area of our life, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, thank you, God. Your desire is this morning to invade this place, to fill it with your presence, to touch us with your love, and to begin to heal or strengthen or set free every one of us, to begin to strengthen us, to walk in the purposes and plans and future that we have in you through Jesus Christ. And all of God's precious people said, amen, 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 amen. Well, I want to just take some time this morning to share some exciting vision with you as our church family. And, you know, I'm just so thankful and grateful for everything that God's done. I'm so thankful and grateful for the fathers in the faith and for the previous generation and for the previous seasons that have been walked out in the life of this church. And, you know, in that video where people were sharing some of the testimony that you might not have been aware of otherwise, you know, other times, other seasons where God had birthed this church and the Jesus movement of the 70s among some radical college kids who just got radically saved and had the faith and the courage to believe that God was who he said he was and would do what he said that he would do, and that the word of God was true, and that the Holy Spirit of God was alive and well and desiring to empower and equip his people. A group of people that came together and began to worship and pursue and call out to God and share life with one another. God took that and turned it into the church that we are sitting in today, which, by the way, is so much more than a building. The church is the Bible says it's the church is living stones. It's you and it's me. This is just a place that we gather. But this is an important place, and this building was built in 1990 and dedicated to the purposes of God. And can I just encourage you? It's been used well. If you could just think and allow yourself over 28 years to just imagine just briefly all the worship times, all the baptisms and salvations and dedications and the marriages where men and women have come together right here and submitted their life and their future and been joined together in holy matrimony. The times where families have joined and gathered together and wept in this place as they remembered the life of a loved one who had gone on to be with the Lord. The times where people from our community have come and gathered in this place to enjoy fellowship or to be trained or encouraged or equipped. All the things that have happened. This building has been an epicenter for activity. Come on, the church is not a building. It's about people, but this is a special place. This is an important place. This is a place where many of life's most important events happen and take place. But it's not intended to remain within these four walls. It's intended to begin to go out through you and through you and through you and through you and through me and begin to go out. This is intended to be an epicenter of a movement. This is intended to be a reactor for an uprising of God's love. This is intended to be the place where something happens and sparks in us as individuals and as a church. And we can't help but go out and begin to tell the community of Lawrence that needs Jesus Christ about what God has done in our life and that Jesus is alive and well, and that the Father in heaven loves them so much he made a way to cover their sin and cover their past and connect them to a fresh start in him, amen, and a relationship in him. The church is so much bigger, it's so much more than a building, but this is an important place. And in the previous seasons that you saw in the life of this church, there was faith that God began to stir. to step out from the small gathering where they were having and begin to meet in a home, and then to step out and to acquire an old car dealership on 23rd and to renovate it and fix it up and to begin to meet there, and then to step out and acquire the property and build a building on Michigan Street, and then to step out and come out into Western Lawrence where it was only cornfields and a few houses in the horizon, and purchase some land and begin to put the plans together to build this building in previous seasons. My point is this: God has stirred faith to step out. And I believe in this season, God began to speak into our eldership. God began to highlight that just as in previous seasons, the Holy Spirit had come and began to stir faith, and the Holy Spirit had come and began to speak and deliver plans, and that people had responded in faith, God was calling us in this season to another step of faith. God was calling us. In previous seasons, it was to step out and to buy land and to build, and we believe that in this season, the Holy Spirit began to say, now in an effort to stewardship, to steward well, and to bring renewed excellence to the property and to the facility that I've blessed you with, that I've called and entrusted to you to steward. I'm calling you in this season to begin to rally and stir the people of God in faith to once again bring a renewed excellence to this facility, to renovate it, to update it, to improve it, to begin to go throughout the halls and the wings and this sanctuary and our foyer and our kitchen and our restrooms and our meeting spaces, and take what has been used well that God has blessed us with and say, God deserves our best. And as in this season, we're going to step in, we're going to receive it in faith, we're going to give, and we're going to serve, and we're going to update this and bring an excellence to it. Because how many of you believe that God deserves our first and our best? So that's what this is about. That's what this is about. And can I just tell you, I'm so grateful and thankful for the faith of previous generations and the faithfulness of God. Because previous times, people stepped out in faith and gave and served and showed up. This building was constructed to the glory of God. And we now, because people gave and served and showed up, we own it debt-free to the glory of God. Amen? Come on, that's good news. That's a good thing to clap for. And I believe that God wants to stir faith. And I don't know exactly how it's all going to look, but I believe that right now in this time, in this season, as we begin to walk through this book this morning, and I point you to some of the vision and some of the impact that we believe it's going to make, I believe God wants to stir faith in our church family. Those of you that are here this morning, those of you that aren't here, that slept in an hour this morning, come on, you look an hour younger this morning than you did last week. How's that possible? Thanks, Ray. Can always count on Ray Poteet, baby. Come on, God's stirring faith in those of us that are here and those of us that are not here this morning, the other members of our church family. I believe God is going to provide the provision for the vision that we believe with all of our heart is from heaven, and that we believe is in line with the heart and the spirit and the nature of God to steward what he's put in our hands well. Come on, everything that God's put in your life, I believe it's an opportunity and an invitation to stewardship. Husbands, your wife is an opportunity to steward a beautiful treasure, a masterpiece of God, to steward her well. Come on, your home, your car, everything. I mean, just insert anything that God could possibly bless you with, physically, spiritually, relationally. Everything that God puts in your hand, it's an opportunity to partner with him to steward it well and leave it better than you found it. And I just believe that's the heart of God. It's what he does in our lives, amen? Come on, he comes in and he changes us on the inside. But when he begins to change us on the inside, we can't help but begin to be changed on the outside. And I believe that there's faith that's going to stir in this church family to step in and to support and to pray and to obey, that will lead to us giving sacrificially and generously in a way that provides the means, the provision for the vision that's outlined in this book. And I don't know exactly how it all looked, but I want to believe that God will show up in such a mighty, powerful, miraculous way that we can pay cash and borrow not a dollar. I don't know what it's going to end up looking like, but I believe that's the call of God. That's the faith that we ought to have this morning at this very hour, and not limit or hinder what God can do and will do. Because a lot of times he meets us at the measure of our faith. And I think we ought to remove every hindrance, every thought. And listen, as we look through this morning, I pray that you see the heart behind it. And there's a statement that's right in the early part of this book, and you can just begin to flip through it and look through it, and I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're inspired. But there's a statement that's at the bottom of that first inside cover right there. And for time's sake, we can't read it all. You can take it with you. You can be reading it this morning as we're walking through it. But in the bottom, it says, the goal of this project is not opulence, but renewed excellence. But if you read through, God gives very specific and ornate plans for the construction of the tabernacle and the temple. And I believe that God is a God of excellence. I believe that God deserves excellence. And again, the goal is not opulence, but it's just us just saying, this, in the same way that the previous generation stepped out in faith and sacrificed to build something for you, in this generation, allow us with the grace of God, with the faith and the courage to step in and to bring renewed excellence so that for this next season of growth, for this next season of ministry, this facility is a place that can be enjoyed by our church family and can be the most welcoming place possible for those who are yet to encounter Jesus but need to in our community. So the heart and the goal of it is not opulence, but it's excellence. It's stewardship. And as you flip through this book, you'll see that these plans have not been put together lightly. I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for our church staff who, in addition to their ongoing responsibilities and putting together the ministries of this church and facilitating ministries, have taken on the extra hours and the extra responsibilities of engaging with the contractors and subcontractors and architects and landscape people and audiovisual people to begin to meet with them and gather multiple bids that we could begin to take and explore and bring into our eldership to investigate further and come up with the most wise and prudent plan possible that we could bring to you guys. And can I just ask, if you're part of our church staff and you're in here, would you, or eldership, would you just stand? Just stand. Come on. They're probably all out serving and doing things, right? Come on. Nathan's standing back there. He's standing back there. Eli was right there. There's Gab right there. Where's Chet Kiefer? Chet Kiefer right here deserves a special call out. Yeah, thank you. You guys can be seated. And I'm just telling you, what the plans that are in this book were not put together casually or thoughtlessly. They've been very well developed and with intentionality. And you see right there that we've engaged with a professional architecture firm, and all the renderings that you see have been designed and developed by them. They provided schematic drawings that have been used by the general contractor that we've selected, who is what the company's run by, a Christian man. We met with several. We gave several an opportunity to submit some initial bids. We met with this gentleman. And he's a believer, and he took us to some of the other churches that he's worked to construct or renovate. And we had confidence that he had our interest at heart. And he has offered to engage with us. And I'll quickly get back to what God's doing in the Spirit in our lives, but just quickly just cover some business because I want you to understand some of the heart of what's going on here. He quickly began to share with us, I would be willing to engage with you guys in a cost-plus arrangement. And what that means is this. It's an opportunity for us to engage with him as he receives multiple bids from subcontractors for all the aspects of the job. He'll bring that to us. He'll consult with us. We'll make a wise decision about which one to go with. In other words, there'll be full transparency all throughout the job about every aspect of the job. And then he'll just charge us an 8%, which is very reasonable, fee for being willing to be the one that oversees and ensures that things are happening with excellence, quality control, and keeping the standards high and keeping timelines moving. And I believe that's going to be money well spent. I believe in the long run, engaging with him will actually end up saving us money. That 8% will be money well spent as he takes all those years of expertise and the relationships that he has and the collateral that that gives him with all the subcontractors to keep that process moving smoothly and effectively and hopefully efficiently and under budget. Amen? Come on. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I want you to just know that what you're seeing this morning, it's been a process. There's been a lot of legwork. There's been a lot of prayer that's gone into it. And I just want to share right there that that's what I believe the call of God is to us, is to pray and obey. You might say, Pastor T, what are you asking of me? And I think that's what I would ask of you. Pray and obey. Just pray and seek the Lord. Come on, can I tell you that anytime we step out and we do something, there's lights that are burning electricity this morning. There's air conditioning. That's where everything that we do as a church, some way, some form, there's resource that's needed for it. But let me encourage you with something I've said before and bears repeating. In this church, you'll never be compelled to give. We won't strong arm you. We won't manipulate you. We'll just cast vision and we'll present the opportunity and create the space for you to respond willingly and freely and joyfully to the opportunity and the invitation to partner with God to build his kingdom and his people. And so the way we walk this out will be no different. No compulsion, no pressure, no gimmicks, just vision. And the request from our heart as the eldership and from me as your pastor to just say, would you just pray? And would you just obey? And I love that scripture that was shown in the early part of that legacy clip right there, the Exodus 35:21, that said, everyone who was willing, whose heart was moved, came and brought an offering for the work of the tabernacle, for its services, and for its holy garments. Just pray and obey. God will stir your heart. I believe God will bring faith. God will begin to speak to you. God will challenge you. Come on, I believe that it's going to stretch us. He calls us to these kind of things because it stretches us as a church. It stretches us individually. It keeps us, like Elisa was saying in that video, dependent upon him. It might pull us out a little bit of our comfort zone. Some of the things he begins to speak to you and challenge you with might be a little bit outside your comfort zone. It might be more than you've ever done before. It might require a step of faith. It might require some adjustments. It might require some things. But I believe that God is pleased and honored when we operate in faith. And if the vision of God for this church is small enough that we can do it in our own strength, I think we ought to go back to the table. It ought to be big enough that it requires God. It ought to be big enough that it requires us to pray. It ought to be big enough that it requires God to show up on the scene and prove himself mighty and powerful and strong. And can I tell you, the same thing is true for your life. God has a plan and a vision for your life that's big. He wants to do more than you ask, think, or imagine. And we need to break the limits and hindrances of our own mind or religious experience off of what God is able and willing and desiring to do in our lives and in our church and in our city. Amen? God is able to provide. And so we're going to begin to just cast this vision in May. On Sunday, May 6th is the date that we've circled on our church calendar to come together and bring our initial celebration offerings towards this campaign. And in the meantime, my request to you is just pray. Just seek the Lord. Keep your heart soft. Keep your ear bent towards heaven and just hear what God would have you to do to help contribute and support the vision that God has. You know, just quickly, I want to just turn through and just highlight some things, and I've got to move quickly. But we're going to renovate this sanctuary. We're going to improve the audio equipment. Completely update it. We're going to improve the video equipment. Come on, how many of you are grateful for Nathan Hammer and all the work that he does in the area of media? I shared this with a handful of leaders recently. Nathan does that with a shoestring budget and hardly any equipment. And I believe it's a good place to go and just pour a little fuel on the fire that's already burning there and give him the opportunity to do even more with the anointing of our worship team and the messages that come out of this church so that we can do a better job at sending it out into our community to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to acquire, these chairs have served us well, but we're going to acquire new, padded, comfortable, but flexible seating that can be linked together but can also be broken apart so that we can have versatility to hold and host some different types of meetings in this room. Come on, how many of you women have been to some of those women's events where a couple hundred precious ladies have tried jamming in the fellowship hall and it's been congested, and we want to alleviate that. We want to be able to gather in this place and set up tables and allow for there to be banquets and allow for there to be marriage conferences and do some flexible seating arrangements, so that's part of what will happen. The next page there is a lobby and coffee bar, and I believe that fellowship is important. It's near and dear to the heart of God. He's called us to be a family. And as we continue to grow and as we have an eye to go once again relaunch a second service like this church has had in previous seasons where God was really moving in power, there's going to be an even greater need because of the congestion that already happens in our foyer. So we're going to open up that space. We're going to build a dedicated coffee bar area. We're going to build a cafe area where people can come, where you can come, and you can engage with a friend. You can host a small group discussion. You can host a prayer time. You can just arrive early to hang out and chill out with your friends and family before or after services. The next page right there, you'll see a couple of precious people, but if you keep turning, the kids ministry, and this is near and dear to my heart because I believe it's near and dear to the heart of God. I believe that ministry to children, ministry to the next generation is one of the most significant and important things that we do as a church family. And I'm so excited about going back into these halls and beginning to update and improve and create a more visually exciting and a refreshed atmosphere for our kids to begin to encounter and discover and grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's some important things that we're going to do. We're going to, right here, we do our best. We monitor it. We maintain it. But we don't have a super secure situation right here. We're going to fix that and change that. We're going to build a secure check-in access point right here in this hallway. So that when you go back through there, maybe when everyone's coming in and out, it's open. But then during the services and times where all the workers and people are engaged with doing ministry, it will require you to be buzzed behind the glass there, or you'll have to have a pass key or a pass code, because we believe that protecting our precious children is an important step of godly stewardship. Amen. But we want that children's area to be life-giving. We want it to be fun. We want it to be vibrant. We want it to be exciting. Come on, I think one of the best things we could hear from people as a church is when they say, we come to Rev City because our kids want to come to Rev City. We come to Rev City because our kids wake us up and say, can we go to church, Mom and Dad, because we have fun there. And so come on, we're going to renovate that area to be a life-giving, fun atmosphere for our precious kids. Amen. Next, you turn the page here and you see we're going to renovate our kitchen and our restrooms. You precious people that show up early and you come and you work over the hot stove and you show up early on Sunday mornings to make all the coffee. Come on, that coffee out there that you drink on Sunday mornings doesn't make itself. People show up and I'm so excited about the opportunity to just bring new levels of excellence to that area where people come and serve behind the scenes. Turn the page there, our meeting spaces, our offices, our fellowship hall, those places will be renewed. Turn the page one more time and you'll see some renderings that have just, this is a recent development that has just come in, and these are some renderings of what's possible for the renovation of the exterior of our facility. And I hope it's inspiring to you. I hope it's encouraging to you. I believe that this, maybe more than anything, will speak that there's life and there's activity and that there's hope that's happening on the inside of this building. Because how many know that what's happening on the inside of this building is more important than what's happening on the outside? But I believe that when God begins to move in a church, when God begins to move in your heart, when God begins to move in your life, and he begins to change you on the inside, you can't help but begin to change on the outside. So this will be an opportunity for us to refresh and update and hopefully speak that there's life and activity that's happening in here. So I just want to encourage you. Thank you for seeing the heart behind it. Thank you for being willing to just do that really simple assignment. Pray and obey. Allow the Lord to stir faith in your heart. Can I ask our worship team to come up and get behind me and just prepare as I finish the message to lead us in praise as we prepare to close. And you know, Matthew 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, Mark chapter 7, verse 37 is a powerful scripture. And it says this, it says, people were overwhelmed by amazement and they made this comment about Jesus. They said, he has done everything well. And listen, I said it a moment ago, but I believe it's true and bears repeating. What's on the inside of our hearts, what's happening on the inside of our church is what matters. But I also believe that when people drive by, they should look and see life and activity happening. They should see godly stewardship. They should see a people who value and prioritize the house of God, the land, the building that God has entrusted to us in an excellent way that brings glory to God. I believe our facility should be modern, attractive, well-kept. I believe that we should commit to steward well what God has entrusted to us. Everything in your life. Every part of your life. And regarding our facility, I believe that people should drive by or they should walk in and they should see excellence. They should see life. They should see activity. They should become fascinated by what's happening in this place. They should drive by and they should say, maybe there's something on the inside of that place that can help me with this area of my life. This place in my heart that needs help. My marriage that's on the brink of divorce. My kids that slam their door in rebellion and resent me. This weight of guilt and shame that I feel because of my past mistakes. This hopelessness that's causing me to want to just give up in life. Maybe there's something on the inside of that building because of the activity and the life and the hope and the smiles that I see on the faces of the people. Maybe there's something in there. Maybe Jesus is real and maybe there's hope for me. from the crippling fear of relationships because of past rejections or abuse or being overlooked, or the anxiety that grips me and keeps me hiding away like a prisoner in my own mind and home. Maybe there's something there that can heal me and connect me to the purpose of God for my life and free me from this insignificance that makes me wonder and question, what's life really about and is it really worth living? And I say to these people, and everywhere in between, accept the invitation. Come and join with us and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and experience Jesus. Come and encounter the love and the heart of the Father. He wants to do something just like he's done in your life and my life. He wants to do something on the inside of the people in our community that radically sets them free and changes them and restores them and heals them and allows them to begin to walk in victory in all the outside issues of life that are currently dragging and weighing them down. Come on, it's the heart of God. He makes things new. He renovates and restores. He doesn't see you in your current situation and think and leave well enough alone. He's constantly pursuing and engaging and inviting you to come and to experience and to live and walk in more of who he is, and who he's called you to be in him. There's some things in my life, I don't know about you, but I needed a savior. And I was wrestling with all these things and trying to figure out life on my own. And nothing on the outside really began to change until I surrendered and God totally captured my heart. And I believe that today God wants to, in a new way or a fresh way, invite you to surrender the inward places of your life in a way that allows him to begin to do something on the inside of you, the fire of God to begin to burn brightly and hotly on the inside of you in a way that maybe it once did or it's never done before, in a way that causes you to begin to live differently, in a way that causes the outward appearance of your life to begin to line up with the nature of Christ, a way that begins to deal with some of the things in your heart that will give you the strength and the hope and the freedom and the power to begin to deal with and win the battles that you're currently up against on the outside of your life. God's here this morning, and that's his invitation to us. Listen, he's in this season corporately, he's challenging us and he's inviting us and he's calling us to renovate our building. But in this season, to every man, to every woman, to every young person, he's reminding us that he's not through with us yet. That what he's done in your life is just the beginning. It's the platform for the next thing that he wants to do in your life. And he's reminding you that in those places that perhaps you feel like it's outdated, perhaps you feel like there's something in your life that has kind of lost traction. Perhaps you think there's something in your life, a relationship, a dream, a hope, something that you once held on to or once had alive on the inside of you that's become dormant. Or perhaps even this morning it's become dead. I just want to encourage you this morning. You serve a God that makes all things new. And we have access to a God who walks and lives in resurrection power and extends us to experience the very same thing. And it's a free gift of God. It's a free gift of God. Listen, if that's you this morning, there's an area of your life that you believe, maybe you've even been hiding it. There's an area of your heart. There's an area of your life. There's a relationship. There's a hope, there's a dream that you need God to come and you need him to begin to breathe new life upon it. Any area in your life, if that's you this morning, would you just stand in faith today? Come on, any area of your life. Something where the enemy has come and he's challenged you, you've become hopeless. The enemy's lied and he's created doubts about whether God really will do and ever intended to do that thing that he put in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for these precious people. Come on, it's not too late to just stand as we pray. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. And I pray, God, you know, I don't know, but you know why they're standing. You know that place in their heart. You know that relationship. You know that dream. You know that grandchild. You know that son or daughter. You know that situation, God, where they need to see you move, where they need to see a spark of fresh faith reminding them, God, that you're still alive and well and moving in their life, and that the thing you begun, you'll bring it to pass. That the thing you've already done in their life, you're not finished with them yet, God. that there's some dreams and there's some hopes and there's some desires that God wants to come and renovate today. He wants to refurbish them today. He wants to take them off the shelf. He wants to knock the dust off of them, and he wants to begin to cause them to shine brightly once again in the center of your heart as you present them before God and trust God in a new and fresh way. To begin to bring life there, to begin to bring wisdom there, to begin to bring strategies there, to begin to show you the steps that you will have to take, to begin to walk into it, and to trust that he's gonna provide the power, he's gonna provide the grace, he's gonna provide the strength to walk it out. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you for that. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Let it be so. Let it be so in the lives of these precious people. Now, church family, would you just stand, and can we just ask God to just bring faith towards this project and towards this vision? And would you join with me just in a moment of prayer here, just for 1 minute? And would you lend your voice to this? Would you ask God to provide? Would you ask God to stir faith? Would you ask God to just lead us and guide us well through this adventure of faith? Father, in Jesus' name, we just present this before you. This church building belongs to you. This land belongs to you. Our lives belong to you. Our homes belong to you. Everything that the earth contains, your word says, is yours. And so, Lord, we present it before you, and we humble ourselves, and we thank you, God, for the privilege and Lord, the honor that it is to partner with you. And everything that you've given us, God, our marriages, our children, our jobs, our cars, our homes, we commit in a new way to steward them well for the glory of God. That people would begin to see, even that we would steward well every interaction with people, Lord, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the outward evidence of the inward work of God in our life, would begin to shine in a new way, a deeper way. Come on, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness of God, the gentleness of God, the faithfulness of God, the self-control that the Holy Spirit only can bring. Come on, Lord, that in a new way, in this season, Lord, that the inward work you do in our lives would begin to shine outwardly, that we would steward everything you've entrusted to us well for your glory. Jesus, we say that this building only exists because of you and through you and for you. Every life that's been changed here, every life that will be changed, it's for you and through you and by you. And we just remind ourselves of that, Lord. And we pray that faith would stir in a new way, in a fresh way, in this church family, like it once did before in previous seasons, that we would not hinder or limit what's possible with you, for the things that seem impossible with God are possible with man. And we thank you for it. And lastly, before we close in praise, if you're here this morning and you need Jesus in your life, you realize this morning you need the forgiveness of the Savior and the love of the Father. You need the most miraculous renovation of all, the changing of your heart from a heart of stone to a heart that's soft before God, from a life that's currently maybe far from God to a life of close relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you, and all I'm going to ask you to do is just respond in faith by raising your hand. Come on, if that's you this morning, you need your life renovated by the Savior, the love of the Father, just lift your hand. And come on, those that are lifting their hands this morning, we're going to gather around you and pray this prayer. Just repeat it after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior, my need for a fresh start. And I thank you that you loved me so much, you sent Jesus to die for my sins and to rise again to give me a life of freedom and hope and victory. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I make you my Lord. And I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. And come on, let's sing this song, and then Pastor Eli will come and he'll dismiss us.